Everyone, and welcome back to Jola Speaks. I trust you're keeping well and keeping safe. God is amazing. So we're going to continue what we've been discussing this week on the appointed time. Holy Spirit, thank you for using me as a vessel. I'm eternally grateful to be used for this purpose. Speak through me, all of you, less of me. Help me to deliver this message in my heart, as I've studied, open my eyes to see. Help me to use the right words to speak to the hearts of those that are listening today, that they are deeply blessed, and it would even encourage them to even study and learn and want to know you more and more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today we're going to be continuing our conversation. As I said, I'm going to read from 2 Samuel 3 verses 9 down to 21. So I go, may God deal with Abner, be it ever so severely, if I do not do for David what the Lord has promised him on oath, and transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul, and establish David's throne over Israel and Judah from Dan to Beersheba. Ishbosheth did not dare to say a word to Abner because he was afraid of him. Then Abner sent messengers to the house to on his behalf to say to David, whose land is it? I like this these messages that is being sent. Make an agreement with me and I will help you bring all Israel over to you. I will help you bring all Israel over to you. Good, said David, I will make an agreement with you, but I demand one thing of you. Do not come into my presence unless you bring Michal, daughter of Saul, when you come to see me. Then David sent the messengers to Ishbosheth, son of Saul, demanding, give me my wife, Michal, whom I betrothed to myself for the price of 100 Philistine foreskins. You know that there was a battle that I had to go for to fight to get Micah, and it was 100 Philistine foreskins. In fact, I think he even got 200 Philistine foreskins for her birthright, even though Saul had asked for 100, because he went to really show, and then eventually what happened. So because Saul took Micah away from David and gave him to another man. So Ishbosheth gave orders and had her taken away from her husband, Paltiel, son of Liash. Her husband, however, went with her, weeping behind her all the way to Barham. Then Abner said to him, go back home. So he went back. Now, just to say here that Micah was taken from David involuntary. David did not let go of Micah, so indirectly she was going back to her husband. Now I always wondered, how did Micah feel with this battle and being used as a tool? Because clearly the reason why David wanted her was because of the political stance she was going to bring with her, because she was the daughter of Saul as and daughter of the former king, one, and two, right, it would help him, you know, push his political stance in the whole of Israel. Continue. And verse 17. Abner conferred with the elders of Israel and said, for some time you have wanted to make David your king. Now do it, for the Lord has promised David, by my servant David, I will rescue my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all the enemies. Abner also spoke to Benjamite in person. Then he went to Hebron to tell David everything that Israel and the whole tribe of Benjamin wanted to do. When Abner, who had 20 men with him, came to David at Hebron, David prepared a feast for him and his men. Then Abner said to David, let me go at once and assemble all the Israel for my lord the king, so that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may rule over all your heart's desires. So David said Abner, and he went away in peace. Find it very interesting. Again, I've read it probably 5, 6, 7 times. But you see, today we'll say, today I've titled this passage, God will do it. It's God's work, not yours. You see, David, you know, was in his household when the series of events that made him become king start to happen. He had no hand, he had nothing to do with it. I want you to please remember this. He had nothing to do with it. In fact, it was Abner that called him and said, whose land is it? You know, I want to make an agreement with me and I'll make you king of Israel. Right. And David says, good. And then he asks for Micah, his wife, to come to him. And, you know, yes, he won the political support and strength as he got Micah as his wife. But actually, you know, those series of events happen again from someone giving a flimsy accusation to Abner that, oh, why did you sleep in my father's concubine? So flimsy. You see, God is the one that is doing the work. We need to remember this very clearly. God is the one doing, aligning events, positioning things that are beyond our even expectation or imagination. We don't know. We need to remember this because a lot of time we want to help God. But let's just focus on what God's asking me and you to do. Do X, do Y, do Z. Focus on that. Don't think of how God would position, how, you know, God would align, what to do to align things, how to position ourselves in that spot. No. No. That's not our work. Remember Joseph. You see, 2 years before he became the prime minister of Egypt, he was in prison with the baker and the butler. And he you know, gave them the interpretation of their dreams and all that, and it came to pass. And when the one that survived was about to go to the palace, it was the butler that survived. By the time the butler was going, he said, please remember me. The guy didn't remember him because it was not the appointed time. In this case of David, before, when Saul became king, Saul died, he thought, oh yes, I'm come king of Israel. And so, you know, yes, he did act out of love, he, you know, mourned Saul, etc. But no matter what he did, no matter what battles he fought, he was still not the king of Israel. You know, king of Hebron, after some time, he was angry, so they were playing battles. Bear in mind that before this situation, Abner had fought battles upon battles with the house of David, right? And so there were battles because, he was trying to take the power. Because why else there be battles, right? They were trying to push on power, but still, no matter what they did, they were still not king of Israel. But then God just did a few steps. Because at the appointed time, it's God's work. Everything we are doing align to what God asked us to do. The God says, speak to the person, speak. Don't go and make things happen yourselves. It's not your work. Because what will happen, like David or like Joseph, is that you will try your best, I'll try my best, and we don't get the result that we are hoping and anticipating for. And then what's the point? I've done it several times. When I think, okay, you know what, God, thank you for this word. In fact, no, Lord, I'm going to help you bring this word to come to pass. You know, I say, you know what? All I'll do is that I will make sure I push myself this way and that way to ensure that I'm right there. So that, you know, your word that you told me must come to pass. It didn't happen. So the result I was hoping to get did not come through. It's very painful because it's obviously doing it took a lot of strength and processing and aligning. And God did not call me to do that. God has told me to do different exercises, different things. Do this, do that. Speak to talk to this person. You know, listen, hear, learn different things, but not to make events happen. No. No. Because even if you do everything in your power, the response you are seeking for may not come, because again, the heart of a king is in the hands of the Lord. So if God in that line with his heart, you would calm down. But look at this. David had no hand in any. He didn't have any hand anywhere. But it was the appointed time that even things that battles could not solve, it was solved by one flimsy accusation. Events and led everything to, you know, David becoming the king of Israel, as Abner was now positioned and desperate and able to help David the same way he was doing for the house of Saul. Because God has changed and switched the heart of a king, or Abner's heart, to please and align with him. Literally like a river of water, just moved it. And that was it. Let us not think we have to continually make things happen when God has not sent us to do it. If God asks you to do X, Y, Z, do it. It is so important, because God has aligned things for you so that when you do those things, immediately it works. But if he has not asked you to do it, and you know, you will know when you are, you know, disobeying God. So you will know when you are disobeying God. You will know when it is you that is doing it, not God. You will know when you are not in submission to God. And so, if that is where you are, please just backtrack. Just focus on the one God is asking you to do, so that he can, because he has done those things, he has prepared those things already, so that as you are going and doing it, suddenly you will enter into what God has been positioned and aligning you for. And you know that I can't take the glory. Because a lot of time when we do these things, we want to take the glory. We want to say, oh, you know, I made this happen. When God does it, you cannot say, because you know. There's no way. You cannot say it. Because you are not, it's not you. God aligned and pushed. I remember one time God asked me to go for a meeting. I was like, no, I'll go later. You know, these people, I was just moving. I was just trying to ignore the word. So, no, just do it. Just do it. That meeting led me to what I would not have expected in a while. I'm like, whenever I say the story, I never try and say, oh, you know, I saw the meeting. No, I did not want to go for the meeting. I did not want to go for it. It was very clear. But God said, you must go. And I went. And I actually entered in what God had already planned. He had purposed. He had done everything. All I had to do was to show up. That was all. Meanwhile, I was trying to figure things out, look at other means, other ways. All those things were left to nothing because God did not send me there. God sent me that meeting, and I thank God I did, because today I'm in awe. Like, God, really? Ha! You are meant to be fed, and I can't take the glory. No, it's God that takes the glory. So I stop here and say, don't try and do God's work for Him. You have your own work. God is doing the bigger work. Just align yourself and do what He says. Don't go and think, oh, let me make things. Let me, you know, I have the strength, you know, I have the thinking. I'm not saying if you can think, you can do it. I'm sure you can. Excellent. You can think clearly. Fabulous. But you are not God. God says, do this, do that. Let Him do His own work. Because you cannot do it the way God will do it. Keep at it. No matter how slow it feels, keep going. No matter how ridiculous his word is to you, do it. And then you will see and say, hey, Jehovah, Elohim. And you realize it's not your works. It is God just helping us. Because I think whereby I feel, oh, my work will show, my work would open doors. It's the one that I did the least working. I say, Father, how? He said, I'm the one opening the doors. I'm the one doing it. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't work excellent. No, I'm saying that do everything diligently well that God asks you to do. Not that you don't do anything that you know. That's no. Don't go and do His own work for Him. Don't try and change the heart of God. Do it online. Just let it. So thank you for listening to me today. I hope it's blessed you. I know it's blessed me and reminded me of how God works in mysterious ways. God help you and God help me. Thank you for listening to me today. God bless you. God bless you. I love you. Bye.